Welcome to the Kriya Yoga Podcast, a source of inspiration and actionable education for those inspired towards the goal of enlightenment through yogic meditation. Through these interviews, discussions, and reflections, it is my intention to share the possibility of waking up to the reality of self and God realization, and to remind you of the immortal words of Paramahansa Yogananda. Don't look back. Don't look to the left or to the right. Look straight ahead to the goal and go all the way in this lifetime. I'm Ryan Kurzak, and I'll be your host on this adventure of spiritual self-discovery. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Season 2 of the Kriya Yoga Podcast. It's been a little over 4 months since I last spoke with you, and a lot has happened since then. I released 2 books. One is the second edition of An Essential Guide to Kriya Yoga Practice. The sections on Kriya Yoga meditation techniques, I updated those, and I also added some material on how to really engage in advanced practice. I've also released a new book about Shriekteshwar's approach to Kriya Yoga. It's called Understanding the Holy Science, a Theoretical and Experiential Study Guide to Shriekteshwar's Kriya Yoga Practice. Now this book, it's a series of transcriptions from a lengthy course that we did in 2020 through the Kriya Yoga Online Patreon community. If you're a member of the Patreon community and you don't already know this, you can actually view that course in the collections section on Patreon. The positive response from students of that course inspired myself and several volunteers to edit and release the material in book form. We've been working on it for about 3 years now, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. Also, in the last 4 months, I've released a new 12-week course through Teachable called An Introduction to Kriya Yoga Meditation for Spiritual Growth. As of this recording, the course is currently at capacity, but if you are interested in participating, you can check back in a few weeks. And finally, during this sabbatical from the podcast, we've been able to finalize our in-person retreat schedule for 2024. Our March and September retreats, they're currently full, but we do still have room in the May, July, and November events. And that's really what's been going on here, but I am happy to be able to return to the podcast. Now, Season 2 is being launched today on March 9th, 2024, and this is a very special day. It's the birthday of my Kriya Yoga teacher, Roy Eugene Davis. And so I thought we could talk about an essential requirement for success on the spiritual path, which Mr. Davis embodied. Now, Mr. Davis met Paramahansa Yogananda in 1949. He was 18 years old, and he traveled across the country to meet Paramahansa Yogananda and to ask Paramahansa Yogananda if he would be his spiritual teacher. Yogananda eventually ordained Mr. Davis in 1952, authorizing him to teach Kriya Yoga, and Mr. Davis continued to serve as a representative of the Kriya Yoga tradition for the entirety of his life, until he passed in March 27th of 2019. I had been told that even up to the last 20 minutes of his life, he was still working on the Truth Journal, which was a magazine that he published quarterly for several decades. And that speaks to the quality of Mr. Davis's life as an embodiment of intentionality, commitment, and devotion to the spiritual path. Mr. Davis was in his late 80s when he passed, and he met Paramahansa Yogananda when he was 18. So he spent 70 years of his life committed to teaching and sharing what he learned from his own guru. I met Mr. Davis in the summer of 2000, and I was fortunate and lucky to be able to spend 18 years learning from him and studying his material, going on retreats with him, and visiting with him privately. And in that time, I would always be curious and interested as to what helped people to remain steadfast in their meditation practices. What inspired people to really experience the fruits of yogic meditation, a deeper sense of inner peace, a deeper sense of connection to the wholeness of life, and ultimately an expanded sense of spiritual awareness. And so every now and then, I would bring this up to Mr. Davis. I'd listen to his thoughts and reflections on what encouraged someone to be successful on their spiritual path. And usually, at first, he would say, the reason a lot of people don't succeed is because they don't really do what they know they should be doing. There are certain principles, there are certain ways of living yogic lifestyle that encourages success. For example, in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, there's a lot of emphasis towards cultivating sattva. And sattva is a word that means illumination, lightness, and buoyancy. And so in the Yoga Sutras, there's this emphasis towards living in a way to where you are healthier, to where your mind is more organized. There's a focus on faith and optimism and possibility thinking. And these were all things that Mr. Davis encouraged. And as I listened to him talk about these things, I was reminded of a particular sutra in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. Sutra 20 of Chapter 1 can loosely be translated as, success is preceded by faith, energy, memory, samadhi or a oneness state, and wisdom. And this sutra is essentially outlining the qualities that we can cultivate within our life, which will, in a way, guarantee our success on the spiritual path, guarantee our success in meditation. And the two most important qualities for beginners are faith, shraddha, and virya, which is vigor, or energy, or power, or strength. The final three, memory, samadhi, and wisdom and insight, these develop due to the support of the first two, again, faith and virya, energy and strength. And if we look a little more deeply at these terms, for example, shraddha for faith and virya for energy and power, these are actually, in a way, mysterious things, particularly faith. And faith is the first one in this list. And again, when I think of faith, it really makes me recognize and honor the quality of Mr. Davis's life. Because as I mentioned, from 18 until his late 80s, he dedicated his life to practice and service and teaching. And I don't think someone does that unless they have a profound faith. I can even remember him talking on retreat when someone would ask him, when did he plan on retiring? He would look at them like, why should I retire? No one should retire. If you've got something that you are inspired to do, you just keep doing it. You don't need to retire. That would be his feeling about the idea of retirement. Even when it came to holidays, he thought holidays, in a way, were kind of a nuisance because they got in the way of his ability to work. He says, you can't go to the post office and mail anything. You can't go to the bank. No one's open. And that's because for him, the most important thing was the continuous engagement, not only in his own practice, but in the ability and his capacity to reach others, to help others, to speak to others, to continue teaching. And faith is something that I never really thought about it until recently, but it is also a defining factor in my own life that I really wasn't aware of. And what brought up this self-reflection was a student had written to me, and he was asking about my persistent faith and belief in the Kriya Yoga tradition, the Kriya Yoga practices, but also in my relationship with Mr. Davis. And I had to take a step back when this was brought up to me, because I had never really thought about it before. It's like asking me, how do you remain faithful to someone that you love? Well, if you love someone, you don't really think about it. It's just what you do. If you have to be of service to them in times of difficulty, you just do it. You don't question it. When it comes to enjoying times of good fortune, you're right there with them. You're present with them. And so I think, or I feel really, what this sense of faith indicates is love. And in this particular sutra, it's indicating that success on your spiritual path, in your meditation, the real foundation for it is love. Just like when I would listen to Mr. Davis talk about his time with Paramahansa Yogananda, the stories he would tell, there was always this deep sense of love and reverence. And even when he would teach technicalities, again, of technique in spiritual practice, there would be a sense of love and devotion there. Or when he would elaborate on the teachings within the Bhagavad Gita or the Yoga Sutras, more important than the words, to me, it always felt like it was the sense of love that emanated from him about these practices that helped to bring the reality of what he was trying to share home to his students. And again, I don't think you spend 70 years dedicated to a practice and a teaching ministry unless there was a profound sense of love there. And this leads to the second quality within the sutra, virya, or vigor, energy, power, and strength. When there is a sense of love, there is also a sense of intentionality. There is an intent. And when we read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, when we can focus on interpreting the sutra, what we can see is that when we have this love, that directs our intention. And when we're very clear on our devotion, our love, when we're very clear on what we are intent upon, according to Patanjali, the energy comes forth. Meaning, when we look to an experience, when we look to a goal, when we are aiming to grow spiritually speaking, and we're doing it with love and devotion, we find a way to get there. We find the energy. We find the inspiration. And this, in a way, takes us back to the idea of brahmacharya, which is one of the yamas, the universal disciplines for spiritual practice. In the Yoga Sutras, chapter 2, verse 38, it says that when you are established in brahmacharya, you obtain vital energy. So we can see the link here. And for some of you who might interpret brahmacharya to mean celibacy, we have to remember that brahmacharya means taking action or directing our desires to the divine. And so in a way, it's like being celibate. When you're celibate, you're directing your energy to a higher experience. You're conserving your vital resources. And so spiritually speaking, when we direct all of our desires and our actions towards our goal of spiritual realization, it's kind of like celibacy in the way of redirecting that energy for a specific purpose. And if we think about it, this idea of celibacy, this idea of sort of not wasting your vital resources, when there is a love and a devotion, a reason that you're behaving in that way, you are inspired, you are empowered. And when that inspiration and empowerment arises from faith, from love, well then, of course, we develop virya, we develop strength, we develop energy and intentness towards success. But ultimately, for the sake of practice, when you are clear on your goals, when you have a sense of love and faith and directionality towards your spiritual practice, that will give you the ability to be successful. And just like when there is the statement that brahmacharya leads to energy, it's saying that when you direct your will, when you direct your life towards a higher purpose, you will find the energy to succeed in that higher purpose. And of course, this can be related to several cliches, you know, where there's a will, there is a way. That's one. The other quote that you might be familiar with is that when a person has a why, they can bear any how. Meaning, when you have a reason to accomplish something, to go in a certain direction, whatever comes your way, whatever is needed to do that thing, you can endure it, you can bear it. And the spiritual path is not really an easy path. It's a path of discipline. It's a path of focus. It's a path of intentionality. It's a path where we prioritize our health and our well-being, because the healthier we are, the easier it is for us to stay awake and clear and conscious in the deeper stages of meditation. As a yogi, there is an emphasis towards satsang, or keeping the company of holy people, which could mean that you surround yourself with spiritual teachers or other inspirational figures that keep you focused on your path. But ultimately, it means that you are very conscientious about who you relate to, who you spend time with, because the people that you spend time with influence your states of consciousness. And if you are surrounded by dramatic and problem-centered people, it's going to be very hard for you to meditate well, because when you are surrounded by problem-centered and dramatic people, you tend to think that way. And it's very hard to meditate when you're distracted by drama. And that's a very difficult thing for people to shake off. It's a very difficult thing for people to understand is important to pay attention to. But for the yogi, if you know this is important, and there is a love for your practice, a love for experiencing deeper states of consciousness and realizing the reality of self and God realization, then you have the energy, you have the motivation to do it. Mr. Davis would often say that it's important for us to be optimistic and possibility thinkers. And again, this relates to the capacity of Shraddha or faith. When you know that you are meant to go in a certain direction, when you feel that it is possible for you, even when obstacles arise, you become open to opportunities that you might not have been able to see before. You're also open to change and to growth. One of the difficulties that we have in religion and in spiritual practice is we lock on to an idea of how things should be, and then we keep trying to force life to show up in a way that fulfills and validates our thoughts and our experiences and our beliefs. And if we're able to be optimistic and a possibility thinker, well, we can use that energy of optimism to move forward, but we're also open to the possibility of seeing things differently. We're open to recognizing that, yes, we may be inspired in a certain way, but maybe we're going to realize a different way of being or a different way of seeing that actually leads to higher realization. And if we had been closed off to that, if we had been trying to force life and the experiences of our spiritual practice to validate our preconceived notions, we wouldn't be able to grow into that new state of being. And of course, when we have faith, when we have Shraddha, we can trust that process. Now, this idea of Shraddha and faith as it relates to our tradition and our teacher is also very important. Again, going back to my experience with the student who asked me about my consistent faith in Mr. Davis and Kriya Yoga, the reason that kind of took me back and made me wonder was because I had never really thought about it. When I met Mr. Davis, he seemed to me to be a representation of what I wanted to know. It's as if he knew what I wanted to know. And when I read his books, when I heard him talk, I was inspired. It was like he was speaking to me. And as I engaged the practices, I experienced positive inner awakening and inner growth. And of course, throughout the years, there were a few things that he would say that I didn't really understand, or I didn't really believe. But because I had had experiences with him that were positive, that allowed me to see he obviously had wisdom, I was able to engage that faith to say, okay, I don't quite get this now, and I don't 100% believe him now, but I'm going to persist. And often what I found was maybe a year later or several years later, that which he was sharing with me that I couldn't quite grasp, all of a sudden it fell into place. And that happened enough that increased my faith. It was as if I realized there are going to be periods where I don't fully understand what he is saying. But because he's been doing this for 40 some years longer than I have, and his books have been clear, and his information has been helpful up to this point, and I've seen how I didn't understand something, but eventually I did, that allowed me to relax, to say, okay, even in times of unknowing, of uncertainty, I can just trust that not only does he have my best interest at heart, but every single time his knowledge and information does pan out. And when you have a relationship with someone like that, it is very inspiring. It is very much like being in a healthy, loving, committed relationship. Even with your spouse or your siblings or your best friend, when you have that kind of love and trust, even if you don't agree on certain things, you know where they are coming from, that is from a place of love. And so you are able to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're able to trust them. You're able to be okay with the fact that sometimes there might be a little bit of static, but you're able to persist because of this love and this faith that you share. So when you have that with a spiritual teacher, it is a profound benefit to your spiritual path. And the same thing is true of a tradition. When I was asked, how did I have such faith in the Kriya Yoga tradition? Again, it wasn't really something that I thought about, because when I first read Autobiography of a Yogi, it spoke to me. It was like when I've met the important people in my life, my best friends, my partners, I knew as soon as I saw them that there was a sense of connection there. And these people have persisted. These people have been a pillar of my life. The same thing was true with Mr. Davis. The same thing is true with the Kriya Yoga tradition. Once I read Autobiography of a Yogi, and I had this, it was like something clicked inside of me. And I knew, oh, well, this is going to be the answer to what I've been searching for. And what had I been searching for? Well, I studied psychology and philosophy in college, and I was always interested in religion and these types of things from a very young age. So I wanted to know essentially what was kind of going on in life. And as soon as I read Autobiography of a Yogi, there was a sense of, ah, this is it. And so, of course, in Autobiography of a Yogi, there is an emphasis towards a particular Kriya Yoga technique. And being 19 years old, that seemed like the way to go. And obviously, that was all there was, just the technique. But what I found was, after reading the book and meeting Mr. Davis and reading Mr. Davis's books and applying the technique and studying the Yoga Sutras, I saw there's so much more to this. And I found, as I meditated with the technique, benefits came. I found that as I studied the Yoga Sutras and Sri Yukteswaras, the Holy Science and the Bhagavad Gita, as I contemplated those things, which had many concepts and ideas and principles that were beyond my comprehension, over the years, they became more understandable, or I had experiences that allowed me to appreciate them. And again, these things, they didn't necessarily happen immediately. It's been 24 years since I began practicing Kriya Yoga, and it's as if every year I learn something more profound opens up in my consciousness. And this again is where I think the importance of faith comes in, because of my experience, because of a love and devotion towards the practice and to my teacher, Mr. Davis, and also the teachers of the tradition who made it possible for us to learn Kriya Yoga and study the philosophy, I have an interest in it in the same way that I have an interest in the love of my life. When you are in love with someone, you don't just spend a few years with them and then go on autopilot. You do your best to remain dynamic and alive, to keep learning about them, to keep growing, to keep changing, to keep experiencing a greater depth of love. And when you have Shraddha, when you have faith in your spiritual path, it's as if your spiritual life becomes almost like a romance. And each year you learn a little bit more about the divine. You learn a little bit more about your individualized self as a soul and its relationship to the divine. And that becomes almost intoxicating. It becomes very enjoyable. And in that way, you get pulled more and more deeply into the process. And so I can only imagine that that's one of the reasons that Mr. Davis spent 70 years of his life engaged in practicing and teaching. And it seems to me that's probably the reason that Paramahansa Yogananda did the same thing, and his guru before him, and so on. And so through this love, this romance, this devotion, what happens? You develop virya, energy, strength. You become more interested. You become more alive and more dynamic into the process. And so then what happens? Then we begin to experience these other three stages described in the sutra, Sutra 20 from Chapter 1 of the Yoga Sutras. Success is preceded by faith, energy, memory, samadhi, and then wisdom. The deeper you go into the practice, the more love you have for it. It's like memories are awakened in you. And these aren't just memories of things that happen. It's like a memory of who you are, a memory of what you are as spirit, memory of your truth as a divine being. And when that starts to come about and you have this energy, this dynamism directing you, driving you, like love drives you when you're in love with someone, then what happens? You can experience cognitive absorption. You can experience samadhi, a oneness state. And that results in wisdom, prajna. And this all leads to a greater sense of peace, inner well-being, and self and God realization. And these things are important for some other reasons. Number one, much of the spiritual path is mystical and intuitive. You know, we have certain words, Sanskrit words, Sanskrit terms, and people can write books about them as if they are able to describe them and share the reality through words. But the important thing to remember is there's a lot of this that is beyond the mind. For example, there is a cosmology called Samkhya. In that cosmology, it explains the evolution of creation, essentially. And it starts with the very basic things like the elements, earth, fire, water, air, and so on. It moves up to the idea of the senses, how you can sense things and how you can take action within the world. And it proceeds upwards to a sense of ego or a sense of I-ness, the fact that you think you're an individualized being. And from there, it jumps into more profound topics like the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, which are these, in a sense, primordial energies of creation, and upwards to purusha and prakriti. And the thing is that we can, as human beings, comprehend the elements. We can comprehend the fact that we can sense things. We can comprehend the fact that we have a mind. We can comprehend the fact that we have a soul, an ego. But that's all further the mind can go. In order to appreciate, for example, the gunas, or to appreciate prakriti, infinite, eternal, primordial nature, and purusha, the self, that requires a mystical experience. And the beautiful thing is that yoga practice shows you how to get there. Yoga practice is the directions that show you how to move into a state of transcendent awareness. And again, with books and with terms, you can try to talk about transcendent awareness, but ultimately you can't really do that. And so it's easy to have terms confused, like what is citta? What is Nirodha? These types of things. You only really appreciate those through an experience which comes about from intensive practice over a long period of time. And you only are able to really engage in intensive practice over a long period of time if you have a deep sense of faith and energy that it is important. We can think about this in a very mundane way. You know, I know many people who are musicians, and they just have a deep love for learning music. And so they'll spend hours playing, going through scales, improving their technique. Why? They're not getting paid for it. No one is paying too much attention to them. It's because they have a deep love for it. And so they become successful in the cultivation of that experience. I know an individual who's very much into health and well-being and bodybuilding. He just loves doing it. He studies it all the time. He learns more. And he's in his 70s now, and he's still doing it. Why? Because he has a deep love and devotion for it. No one really knows who he is. He doesn't proclaim it. It's because there is love and devotion there. And because of that love and devotion, he gets up every morning and he keeps going. Again, with the music example, there's a woman that I know, she's in her 70s, and she's been playing her entire life. And she recently just told me, I started taking lessons again because I thought I could still make a little more improvement. Now, why does she do that? Because there's a deep sense of love and devotion towards that experience, towards that practice. And so she has energy for it. And the same is true for our spiritual growth. We have to find our faith. We have to find the tradition that we feel that we can give our energy towards, that we feel a deep love for, and then proceed forward. And just like in any relationship, it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be times where you have to really stretch your limits, really expand your consciousness, or engage in a discipline that you might not really want to do. But again, when you are in love, particularly when it comes to a relationship, you endure those things and you keep moving forward. And we can also recall one of the phrases, I think it's in chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, but it says that the yogi endures pleasure and pain while seeking knowledge. The yogi endures pleasure and pain while seeking knowledge. Essentially, what it says is that yoga is not about finding pleasure. Yoga is about knowledge. And this knowledge isn't book knowledge. It's not data. It's a knowing and understanding. And again, if we think of this idea of love, when you love someone, you want to know more about them. You want to participate with them in a way that speaks to who they are. You want to support them. And you want to have the relationship mutually supportive. And so you have to learn about each other. So the yogi seeks knowledge while enduring pleasure and pain. What the yogi is doing is seeking to understand their devotion. They're seeking to understand their spiritual path because they love it, and that helps to inspire them. So as I again consider the life of my teacher, Roy Eugene Davis, on his birthday, I believe he embodied all of these things. It was my experience that he embodied all of these things. And for those who could pay attention, he inspired his own students in that same way. And because of that inspiration and that love that was generated and developed, his students were able to recognize the truth of their being. They were able to meditate well. They were able to find joy in the experience of life, seeking knowledge while enduring pleasure and pain. And because of that, there was a deep sense of meaning about their approach to life. There was a deep sense of meaning that helped to uplift them and, again, encourage them to be optimistic and to be possibility thinkers. So I'd like to inspire you to consider these things. I'd like you to reflect upon your spiritual path. And really, you probably have the techniques that you need. And at least I know you have access to the philosophy. Mr. Davis has written several books on the Yoga Sutras and the Bhagavad Gita. I've written several books on Kriya Yoga practice and the supportive philosophies. Yogananda has all kinds of material available. You have access to what you need. So what you might need to do is reflect upon what is possible for you. And don't reflect upon it in a begging way, like, well, gee, I hope this could happen. I hope God's grace comes down and lifts me up. Look at it more of a curiosity of recognizing, oh, okay, there are other human beings who have incarnated that have grown through the stages of spiritual realization, and they have experienced freedom, liberation. So if that were true for me, if I could feel that as a possibility, really spend some time contemplating, what would that feel like in my heart? How would my heart feel if that was a reality for me? Use your imagination. How would my body feel? How would my mind be? Use your imagination. You know, we have this thing called the mind, which is a manifestation of divinity as well. And we have something in Samkhya philosophy called the Antahkarana. And that is essentially the capacity for us to think and intuit and imagine and conceive. Well, that's a divine gift. And it's even been said that that particular aspect of us is not bound by time. And that's why we can remember things. We can look back and we can observe the past and we can be in the present, but we can also sort of project in the future and wonder what's what, essentially, and see opportunities and move towards those opportunities. The other parts of us, they just exist in the present. The elements, our body, and so on, it's only in the present. It doesn't exist in the past, doesn't exist in the future. But this Antahkarana, this capacity for imagination and memory and the subtle aspect of us, that exists through time, which means we can use that device and we can imagine possibilities, and those possibilities will inspire us. And then once we have the feeling response, we know what it could be like. We can ask ourselves, okay, well, what do we do now? And Mr. Davis would always affirm that we live in a supportive universe, and we are able to cooperate with this enlivening power of the universe. So if we can feel a possibility, and we can be curious about, well, how do we get there? What kind of action do I need to take? That puts some things in motion, and maybe we will be presented with a book that helps us understand something, or we meet a teacher that can help inspire us and guide us. But we have to use this ability to imagine the possibility of our spiritual freedom, of our spiritual well-being. And then that will begin to engage our intuition. And of course, we'll make some mistakes from time to time, because until you get good at it, you're a little shaky. But the better you get at it, the more magnetically you feel guided. So to conclude, spend some time wondering. Spend some time being curious about where your faith is. And what would it be like if you had profound faith in your ability to be spiritually clear, whole, awake, aware, and to be guided, and to feel a deep sense of purpose in your life in this way? And when you go into meditation, bring that with you and think about it throughout the day. In the Yoga Sutras, it says that your intentionality makes a difference. So the more you're able to hold on to this, the more you support that intentionality, the more this creative aspect of the universe, the enlivening power of the universe, responds to you and carries you. You still have to keep moving yourself. You have to remain engaged in the process, but it's as if you are guided by grace. Grace can inspire your activity and can give you the strength, the virya, the energy to persist in the ways that you need to for success. So what is your faith? And if you had this faith, what kind of energy would you have? What kind of motivation would you have? Reflect upon that, and you will find the wisdom, you will find the guidance that will allow you to realize what Mr. Davis realized, which was that we are an infinite, immortal, spiritual being participating in this enlivening, co-creative experience of life, and that we are, in a sense, the wholeness of life. And like Mr. Davis's life, it will persist from now until your time of transition. And then you'll find that your life takes on a deep meaning, and your spiritual growth, your spiritual practices become more alive, more dynamic, more enjoyable, more fulfilling. And that's all you need to do, is to keep feeding that fire. One thing Yogananda said, he said, don't let your spiritual practice be like a straw fire, that when you feed it straw, it goes up in a great flash, and then it burns out very quickly. He says, build your fire so that it burns long and warm throughout the night. And this is an excellent way not only to cultivate how you live your life, but also how to cultivate your spiritual practices. All right. Well, that should be enough for today. So stay tuned for our upcoming podcasts. We have one in the works with David McGraw, Kriya Yoga teacher from Ireland and also a student of Roy Eugene Davis. You've heard him in season 1. We have a new guest that we're working out the details of, an interview, Harold Reiske, who is a Kriya Yoga teacher in Germany. He's also a longtime student of Roy Eugene Davis. And I do believe I'm going to release a podcast about Mr. Davis's book, Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness. Over the last 7 months for the Kriya Yoga online Patreon community, I've been doing a monthly lesson and focusing on one chapter a month of Mr. Davis's book. And as I was going through the final chapter, Infinite Life, I thought this would be a good podcast, so we'll release that as well. And of course, if you need some more reading material, more inspiration, you can look at An Essential Guide to Kriya Yoga Practice, the second edition, which was just released. And if you have familiarity with Sri Yukteswar and his book, The Holy Science, I would check out Understanding the Holy Science, a Theoretical and Experiential Guide, Study Guide to Sri Yukteswar's Kriya Yoga Practice. And for anything else, you can go to kriyayogaonline.com, where you can find several online courses that are available, as well as our in-person and also online retreat schedule for 2024. So it's good to be back. I appreciate you taking the time to listen, and I look forward to being with you again soon. So be well.